Our text for the evening is Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. I read the whole chapter. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One war is past. Behold, still two more wars are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Let us pray. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, once again we thank you, for you brought us together as your church, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. You brought us together, O God. Out of darkness you drew us into your marvelous light, and you set us free. Yes, you said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." O Lord, you have revealed yourself to us. You have said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Because of your revelation to us, O Lord, we are what we are. We thank you, for you have chosen us, drawn us to yourself, sealed us by your Spirit, made us yours, promising us, and no one can pluck us out of your hands. We thank you that you are here right in our midst, and we as your church can worship and praise and adore your holy name. Indeed, you are King of kings, you are Lord of lords, and you are coming soon to take us to be with you. Until then, Lord, we pray that you will empower us by your Spirit. We pray, O Lord God, that you would wash us make us whole, strengthen us, make us people who listen to you, who hear your voice and obey you wholeheartedly. Make us a people after your own heart. Oh, come, come, blessed Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts, we pray. And Lord, write your word upon our minds and upon our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's once again go through the outline of Revelation. It's good to go through the outline each time we begin the study. The outline of Revelation. The key theme is Jesus Christ, the victor. Jesus Christ is victor. The key verses are Revelation chapter 1 verse 19 and Revelation chapter 17 verse 14. The things which you have seen, that's what is told to us in chapter 1. The things which you have seen. John's vision of the exalted Christ. The things which are in chapters 2 and chapter 3. The messages to the seven churches. And then the things which shall be hereafter. Chapters 4 right up to chapter 22. The throne in heaven. We saw that in chapter 4 and chapter 5. Where worship in heaven takes place. Because God is creator. And chapter 5, the Lord is worshipped because he is redeemer. The tribulation on earth, from chapter 6 to chapter 19, the first half of the tribulation, chapter 6 to chapter 9, and we now come to the close of the first half of tribulation as we study chapter 9. And then the middle of the tribulation, chapters 10 to 14, and then the last half of the tribulation in chapters 15 to 19. And then we see the kingdom of Christ in chapter 20, and then the new heavens and the new earth in chapter 21 and 22. So today we look into Revelation chapter 9 verses 1 to 21, the text that we just read. The close of the first half of the tribulation. Revelation chapter 9 describes two frightening armies. Two frightening armies are described in Revelation chapter 9. Armies that are liberated to actually judge mankind. And what are these armies? The late Dr. Wilbur M. Smith, who made the book of Revelation his special study, he once wrote, "It is probable that apart from the exact identification of Babylon in Revelation chapter 17 verses 1 to 18 and Revelation 18 verses 1 to 24, the meaning of the two judgments in this chapter represents the most difficult major problem in the Revelation." Revelation 9 verses 1 to 21 describes two frightening armies. Two frightening armies that are actually liberated at just the right time, and they are permitted to judge mankind. And the first army is the army from the pit. Revelation chapter 9 verses 1 to 12. I read the passage again. Revelation 9 verses 1 to 12. "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. Their hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things." Revelation 9 verse 1. "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is literally the pit of the abyss. The pit of the abyss. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke makes it clear that this pit is the abode of the demons. Luke 8 verse 31. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. And Jesus is casting out the demons from the man in gatherings. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. John states that Satan will be temporarily jailed there in the abyss, the pit of the abyss. During our Lord's reign on earth, Satan will be temporarily imprisoned, jailed during the 1,000-year reign, the millennial reign on earth. Revelation chapter 20 verses 1 to 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit. Into the bottomless pit, the pit of the abyss. And shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. The Antichrist, that is the beast, will ascend out of this pit. Revelation chapter 11 verse 7. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. In Revelation 17 verse 8 we read, the beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now the bottomless pit is not the lake of fire. It's not the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the final prison for Satan and his demons and all who follow him. Revelation 20 verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is eternal hell. That's the lake of fire. The bottomless pit is part of that hidden underworld under the Lord's authority. All of this is under the Lord's authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me, says the Lord Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth. So the bottomless pit is part of that hidden underworld, and that's under the Lord's authority. And today, this fearsome army described here, it's already imprisoned there, waiting for the hour of liberation. It's going to be liberated. This army is going to be liberated. Let's read Revelation 9 verse 1 again. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now this fallen star is a person. The fallen star is a person. He is the king over the beings in the pit. Revelation chapter 9 verse 11. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Now he does not have complete authority. He does not have complete authority because the key to the pit had to be given to him. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. So he doesn't have complete authority. The key to the pit had to be given to him before he could lose the army, before he could liberate that army. Now this star is most likely Satan, and the army is his demons. The army is his demons. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. Remember, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And one of the names for Satan is Lucifer. And Lucifer means brightness. Brightness. He's also compared to the morning star. Isaiah chapter 14 verses 12 to 14. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now Jesus said to his disciples, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Luke 10 verse 18. Now what happens? When the pit was opened, smoke came out. And smoke emerged as though the door of a furnace had been loosened. Jesus compared hell to a furnace of fire. I don't know whether you've been in front of a furnace at any time. I worked in telco. I did a project. I did my training in telco in Jamshedpur. And I was in the foundry in telco. And there are these huge, massive blast furnaces. Huge. Huge. And you stand in front of it, you can just get burnt. You know, you have to have a lot of protection. And you can't go in front of it when it's on full flame. It's only when and on small flame that you could probably stand anywhere close to it. But it's full flame, it's open. You can just get finished. So, when this pit was open, it's like the door of a furnace being loosened. And Jesus compares hell to a furnace of fire. Matthew 13 verse 42. And will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew chapter 13 verse 50. And cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So Jesus compared hell to a furnace of fire. And that's an image that ought to make people stop and think before they joke about hell. You know, when you hear words like, go to hell, it's no joke. It's no joke. It's a furnace of fire. The smoke polluted the air. It darkened the sun, which had already been darkened. When the fourth trumpet sounded, the sun had already been darkened. But it was what came out of the smoke that truly terrorized mankind. An army of demons. And this army of demons is compared to locusts. That's what came out. Revelation chapter 9 verses 2 and 3. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now the eighth plague in Egypt, it was a devastating storm of locusts. Locusts, in fact, not a storm, a swarm of locusts. We read of that in Exodus chapter 10, verses 1 to 20. Now those of us who have never encountered these insects, these locusts, we have little idea of the damage that they can actually do. When God wanted to judge his people, he would sometimes send locusts to devour the harvest. In Deuteronomy 28 verse 38 we read, you shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, for the locust shall consume it. God's judgment comes upon the people. Deuteronomy 28 verse 42, locusts shall consume all your trees and the produce of your land. Revelation chapter 9 verse 3, then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And verse 10, Revelation chapter 9, they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now these are not literal locusts. These are not literal locusts, because locusts do not have scorpion like stings in their tails. These creatures do not devour the green vegetation. In fact, they are prohibited from devouring the green vegetation. Revelation 9:4, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So this demonic army, which is let loose from the bottomless pit, is given the assignment. What's the assignment? Of tormenting all who have not been protected by the seal of God. The 144,000, remember, from the tribes of Israel, would therefore escape this painful judgment. Revelation 7 verse 4, because they're sealed by God. Revelation 7:4, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. In fact, it's likely that all who have trusted the Lord will be sealed in some special way and protected from this torment. Now, the normal lifespan of a locust is about 5 months. They say from May to September. From May to September, 5 months. And this is the length of time that the judgment will last. 5 months, men will be tormented. And these demons, what will they do? They will sting people and create such pain that their victims will actually want to die. The victims will want to die, but death will flee from them. That's the kind of torment that's going to take place. Revelation chapter 9 verses 5 to 6. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. Just think of that. They desire to die, but they won't die. And that torment will continue for 5 months. Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 3. Then death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of those who remain of this evil family, who remain in all the places where I have driven them, says the Lord of hosts. Now, reading the detailed description of these creatures, you realize that John is not writing about ordinary locusts. Yet, despite its obvious symbolism, it portrays a powerful army, an enemy armed for battle. Revelation 9:7, the shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. So, bodies like horses, faces like men, and these demons' heads, they're crowned and covered with long hair. That's how they are. Revelation 9:8. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. So they have teeth like those of lions, and their skin is like a coat of mail. Revelation 9:9. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings were like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. And when they fly, the noise is like an army of chariots that are rushing by. Now, it's unnecessary to try to spiritualize these symbols or even to interpret them in the light of modern means of warfare like drones and other things. No, don't do that. John is actually heaping image upon image. What's he trying to do? He's trying to force us to feel the horror of this judgment. Now, real locusts, they don't have a king. Real locusts do not have a king. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 27. The locusts have no king. Yet they all advance in ranks. Solomon was so wise. He figured out all that. But this army follows the rule of Satan, the angel of the bottomless pit. And his name is Destroyer. Revelation 9:11. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. But in Greek, he has the name Apollyon. In John 10 verse 10, remember, Jesus exposed the devil so clearly, so clearly. The thief, Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Remember, any kind of attack of the enemy or any deception of the enemy has only one focus: steal, kill, destroy. So if you find him trying to invade your thought life or any aspect of your life, your marriage, your home, your children, in any area of life, how do you identify? This is not from God, this is the devil. How do you identify? If you find that he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. It's so easy. You identify the devil. That's the devil. That's not God. That's the devil. That's not God. So if he's trying to steal the joy out of your marriage, he's trying to steal the joy out of your home, joy of, children and parents and, anything that he wants to steal, that's not from God. That's the devil. That's the devil. Real locusts, actually, they are destroyers. They come only to destroy. They come only to destroy. But look at this army. This army only tortures, doesn't destroy. And what do? They torture those who do not belong to the Lord. Now, as God's people, we can be thankful that Jesus Christ is on the throne and he holds the keys. He holds the keys of hell and death. Revelation 1 verse 18. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. So the Lord Jesus exercises divine authority even over Satan. God has his timetable for all these events, and nothing will happen too soon, nothing will happen too late, everything will happen just in God's time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 6, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. So the right time comes, the Antichrist will be revealed. Revelation chapter 9 verse 15. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Who holds the keys? The Lord holds the keys. I have the keys of Hades and of death. Then we see the next army. The next army that is released. The army from the east. Revelation 9 verses 13 to 21. I read again. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God. Remember the golden altar. We'll come back to that again. Verse 14, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Revelation 9:13 again. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God. Now it was the same golden altar of incense that the angel offered the prayers of the saints. Revelation 8 verses 3 to 5. Revelation 8 verses 3 to 5. We studied this passage. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. That's the golden altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So now, From this same altar, a voice speaks. And what does the voice say? It commands that four angels be loosed. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Revelation 9, 13 and 14. Now these angels are apparently wicked, because no holy angel would be bound, right? No holy angel would be bound. So these are wicked angels. Each angel is in charge of part of that vast army that follows, that's going to be liberated. That's not the army. That's, I think, a crow on the roof. So each angel is in charge of the part of the vast army when they are liberated. And the army numbers 200 million beings. 200 million beings. Revelation 9 verses 15 to 16. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. So the army is released at a precise time, and it's released for a special purpose. What's the purpose? To kill, not just torment. Kill what? A third of the world's population. A third of the world's population is going to be killed. A fourth of mankind, remember, has already been killed. In Revelation 6 verse 8, so I looked and behold a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was death, and Hades followed with him, and the power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Now since a fourth of mankind has already been killed, this means that half of the world's population will be dead by the time the sixth trumpet judgment is completed. We haven't yet reached the middle of the tribulation. This is the end of the first half of the tribulation. So half of the world's population will be dead by the time the sixth trumpet judgment is completed. Now, are we to identify this as a literal army of men moving in conquest across the globe? Probably not. For one thing, the emphasis is in this paragraph, it's not on the riders, but it's on the horses. Revelation 9:17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. So the description cannot fit war horses as we know them. It can't fit them. For that matter, modern warfare equipment such as tanks, no, it can't fit that. The description does not fit that. So to assert that this is a literal army, and to point some nation such as China that claims to have 200 million soldiers, that's to miss the message that John is seeking to convey. Look at the deadly power of the horses. In their mouths and tails, deadly power, not in their legs. Fire, smoke, and brimstone issue from their mouths, and their tails are like biting serpents. They can attack men from the front as well as from the rear. So this is another demonic army headed by four fallen angels, and all of them are today bound. Right now they're bound by the Lord, unable to act until God gives them permission. Now why are they bound at the Euphrates River? That's not explained. It's not explained. Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Revelation 9:14. Now that area is the cradle of civilization, Euphrates. Genesis 2 verse 14, the name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Now Euphrates is also one of the boundaries of Israel. Genesis 15 verse 18, God-given boundary of Israel. On the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. One would think that the combination of 5 months Remember, 5 months of torment and then death. From fire, smoke and brimstone. We would think that would bring men and women to their knees in repentance. But that's not the case. That's not the case. So you see, these judgments are not remedial judgments. These are not chastisements to bring people back to God. These judgments are actually retributive judgments. What are retributive judgments? God is upholding His holy law. And God is going to vindicate His suffering people. And God will do that. In the book of Revelation chapter 6 verses 9 to 11 we read, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed." So God is going to uphold His holy law, and God will definitely vindicate His suffering people. Now, even a casual reading of Revelation chapter 9 verse 20 and 21 reveals the awful wickedness of mankind. Just look at this. In spite of all this judgment that is coming upon mankind, what happens during that time? Even in the midst of God's judgments, people are not going to repent. People are not going to repent. Revelation chapter 9 verses 20 and 21. "But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders and or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts." In other words, people take pride in their sin. They take pride in their sin. And mankind is still the same. And these are the ones who actually reject the gospel. Even today when the gospel is proclaimed, you find people rejecting the truth of the gospel because they love sin more than they love God. They love darkness more than they love light. And they don't want to come out of darkness and come into the light because they love darkness. They love darkness. Are there people like that today? Yes. And they are the ones who will not respond to the gospel. They refuse to respond to the gospel. They make their excuses. Yesterday I heard, day before yesterday, when we were for the wedding, after the wedding, after the message was over and after the service was over, I was walking towards the washroom. I mentioned this morning. And a young man got hold of me and I thought he was very sincere. And he came and told me his name. I'm not going to say his name. And he had long hair. And he had a kurni at the back, you know, like tied up. And then he told me, "I'm an atheist." I thought he was a very sincere seeker because I thought he came to talk to me after the message was over. I thought he was going to respond to the gospel. I didn't give an altar call, so I was hoping that somebody will come forward. And so here comes the step, and he catches hold of me and he says, "I want to talk to you." I said, "What do you want to say?" And told me his name, and that was a Hindu name, and I said, maybe he's responding to the gospel. And you know what he said? He said, "I don't agree with what you made about those gender statements." I said, "What gender statements?" I said, "There are only two genders. One is male and the other is female. God made them male and female." He said, no, "I'm not talking about that." I said, "Then what is it?" He said, "No, what you said about the roles, that was very harsh." I said what God's word said. I didn't say anything. "No, that was," he said, "I didn't like your opinion about the roles." I said, "I have no opinion, friend. That's not my opinion. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. And I can't contradict God's word. I can only tell you God's word. I can only tell you the truth. But the choice is yours. The choice is yours." So you see, the gospel needs to be responded to. A man's sin, when man loves to sin, and he is quite proud of the fact that he was an atheist. And I was not going to stand. I don't argue with people. I share the gospel, that's it. And see the word of God sown. I never sit and kind of, you know, try and do apologetics or whatever. I don't do any of that. I don't do any of that. I just share the gospel. Because God's word is God's word. And if they respond to God's word, well and good. If they don't respond, find somebody else who's going to respond. Because God says in His word, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And there are sincere seekers. There are also sincere rebels. They're very sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. The most frightening thing about Revelation chapter 9 is not the judgments that God sends, but the sins that men will persist in committing even while God is judging them. That's how cruel, how evil the heart of man is. That's why the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. Now look at the sins that men and women will be committing. Demon worship. Demon worship which goes hand in hand with idolatry. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 19 to 21. What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Idolatry is demonic. Idolatry is demonic. The people of Israel actually fell into this sin and they faced the judgment of God. Leviticus chapter 17 verse 7. They shall no more offer their sacrifices to demons, after whom they have played the harlot. This shall be a statute forever for them throughout their generations. Just imagine, the children of Israel who had the law of God given to them on Mount Sinai through Moses, and they had seen the fire descend, God Himself descending upon the mountain. They had seen all of that. And they were led through the wilderness. But then ultimately what happened? They reject this true and living God and they worship the gods of the nations, which are actually demons. They shall no more offer their sacrifices to demons, after whom they have played the harlot. There shall be a statute forever for them throughout their generations. Deuteronomy 32 verse 17. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know. To new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. Idolatry is demonic. Psalm 106 verse 36 to 37. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. This is speaking about Israel. People who are given the law of God. Galatians chapter 4 verse 8. But then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. Revelation chapter 9 verse 20. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. So demon worship will be the leading sin, and Satan will be at work, of course, always under the permissive will of God. God is on the throne, but God allows this to happen. Satan has always wanted to be worshipped. The book of Isaiah chapter 14 verses 12 to 15, I read to you again. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend. Look at the I wills. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Five I wills. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. And the devil approached Jesus wanting to be worshipped. That's what he did. Matthew 4, 8 to 10. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you. So who does it belong to, by the way? It belongs to Satan. Jesus doesn't tell him, listen, it's not yours. All these things, the glitter and the glamour of this world, Satan is offering who? The Son of God, Creator of the universe. Just imagine. Alright. The creature is speaking to the Creator and saying, I'll give you all these things. He's a usurper actually. He deceived Adam and Eve and took hold of the world. And when Jesus died on the cross, yes, what did Jesus do? He said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. He is not going to bow down before the creature. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to shed his blood. And he'll crush the head of the serpent on the cross and restore to mankind what mankind lost and gave into the hands of Satan. That's what he did for us on the cross. A great deal of religion will be practiced at this time during the tribulation. A lot of religion will go on, but it will be false religion. People will worship the work of their own hands, which could well include the buildings they construct, the machines they make, the cities they build, as well as their idols, all their idols. So here are dead sinners worshipping dead gods. Psalm 115 verses 4 to 8. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. So their gods will not be able to protect. Their gods will not be able to deliver. Yet these people will continue to reject the true and living God and worship Satan and idols. And during that time, murder and theft will be widespread, and various kinds of sexual immorality will be widespread. Revelation 9:21. And they did not repent. They did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Now that word translated sorcery, Revelation 9:21. Their sorceries. The Greek word for that is pharmakia. And pharmakia, we get the English word pharmacy from pharmakia. And it means the use of drugs. And drugs are often used in pagan religious rites and demon worship. You find many of the rishis in North India, they smoke ganja, hashish. They do that during their religious rites. So today we see the expansion of this drug culture. We see that happening right here in our own city. Young people are getting hooked. I was told it's happening in schools. They're peddling drugs to students, to young children. And it's used in pagan religious rites, in demon worship, drugs are used. So we see what's happening around us, and I don't think we'll have a problem seeing a society, a whole society, given over to these demonic practices. It's not difficult to visualize that. But that's what it's going to be like. Mankind will be breaking the first two Mosaic commands, making and worshipping idols. In their murders, they will violate the sixth commandment. In their thefts, they will violate the eighth commandment. By their fornication, they will break the seventh commandment. So it's going to be an age of total lawlessness. In Judges chapter 21 verse 25, it says, every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. We see some of that happening today. One of the teachers this morning in church was telling me, Pastor, please pray. Pray for the young people in this city. Pray for the children in our schools. Very burdened she was, and she said, please, please pray. Because the kind of things that are happening are nothing but satanic. Nothing but satanic. And it is like what she was saying is they can't even be controlled. Nobody can correct them. Nobody can control them. You know, it's not like when we were kids. Today you can't discipline a child in school. No caning. You're not allowed to cane, right? Yeah. No spanking, nothing. You're not allowed to do any of those things. That's considered cruelty. Of course, there was a bit of cruelty in those days. But now it's like the other extreme. You can't even speak truth to them because they can complain that you were harsh or you were, you know, too strong. So she said, pray. Pray. In fact, one of the kids that were reprimanded in school, the parents came over and accused the teacher who reprimanded. And they took the boy away from the school and put him in another school. And 3 months later, the boy just jumped off the 26th floor, committed suicide. This is today. We're talking about today. If this is the kind of evil that we're seeing now, what's it going to be like when the tribulation comes upon the earth? But I don't want to sound morbid. God is working out his plan. He's on the throne. Christ is on the throne. Neither the sins of mankind nor the schemes of Satan will hinder God from accomplishing his purpose, his will. Alright, we have now come in our study of Revelation to the midpoint of the tribulation. Revelation chapter 10 to 14 is the midpoint of the tribulation. And this is a time during which some important events must take place. But thus far, we have covered about 3.5 years of this 7 year period of tribulation. Remember, the period of tribulation is 7 years. Daniel chapter 9 verse 27, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. So during this time, the Antichrist began his career during the tribulation. He begins as a peacemaker. He begins as a special friend to Israel. So, not far from now, all this is going to happen. But now, his true character will be revealed. In the middle of the tribulation, what will happen? He will become a peace breaker, not a peacemaker. He will break peace with Israel. And he will be a persecutor of the people of Israel. A persecutor of the people of God. Not only Israel, but anyone who professes faith in Christ. So things will not look bright for God's people during this middle stage of this prophetic journey, the middle of the tribulation. But there will be still overcomers. And how will that happen? Through the power of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's how it's going to happen. Because he's on the throne, and even in spite of all this that is happening, there will still be people who respond to the glorious gospel, and they will be saved. Thanks be to God. I believe the clock is ticking. It is ticking, and Christ can come anytime. The next event on God's calendar, I believe, is the rapture of the church, because the church is not going to face the wrath of God. Tribulation is the wrath of God, and we are saved from the wrath to come. That's God's promise to us. We are saved from the wrath to come. So that when the wrath of God falls upon the earth, the church would already have been raptured. Praise God for that. But make sure you proclaim this gospel, this glorious gospel, to as many people as the Lord leads you to. Be burdened about souls that are lost, and pray, and act in faith, and do the work that God wants you to do in bringing people to Christ. Bringing people to Christ. God is snatching people out of the fire. I think the past 3-4 weeks you had baptisms, more of Hindus. Even today we had a baptism of a Hindu girl who gave her life to the Lord. So the Lord is snatching people out of the fire. So I was curious to ask, I asked her, anyone in your family that are Christians? And she said, no. Mother was not Christian. Father was not Christian. And she mentioned that the Bible was given. So I asked, how did you get the Bible? And she said, my mother studied in WCC. And in WCC, she said mother's no more. And she really doesn't know whether mother is saved. But mother has heard the gospel, and the Bible was given to her mother when she studied in WCC by her friends. That's why she said the Bible was at home. Obviously, her friends would have prayed for her mother. I don't believe anybody gets saved without somebody praying for them. So let's be burdened about the lost, and there are so many, probably even within your own family, who are yet to know Christ. What must you do? Be burdened with God's burdens, because He's coming soon and He will take us to be with Him. And you don't want your loved ones to be lost, right? You want all of them to be saved. So your family, extended family, but they'll not stop there. There's a world outside that's perishing and dying without Christ, and it's our responsibility for us who know Him to make Him known. So what's the purpose of life? To know Him, to love Him, to obey Him, fear Him, to serve Him, to please Him. That's the purpose. To know Him and to make Him known. Shall we pray? Reuben, you could lead us in prayer, please.
Holy Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this. Your word here shares us not with us.